Today, would you find, please, the book of Hosea, chapter 10, verse 12. Hosea 10, 12. I just, you know, some say, what's your favorite time of the year? I just like it any time it changes, you know. As the seasons pass, I like to watch the changes on the trees. I like to watch the way that the sun filters through them at different times of the year and how it's just fascinating to watch it. In the spring, though, I guess if you nailed me down and you wanted something a little more sure, a little more definitive than that, I would just say the spring. I love the spring. And in the spring, it's just fascinating, almost from one day to the next, as the leaves begin to reappear on the trees, slowly at first, and then finally there's just an explosion of green. And for many years, I've enjoyed watching the crops as they grow. I pastored churches in the Mississippi Delta for 8 years, two different churches, and then being in Yazoo County, right on the very edge of the Delta, I was able to watch the farmers as they prepared the land for a new crop. In fact, the church that we just left, right beside the church and right behind the parsonage, is farmland. Some years it would be soybeans, and some years it would be corn, but there was always something there, and it was always fun to me to watch the crops coming up, to watch them as they develop. From day to day, if it was corn, I would watch as the corn gets taller and taller, finally turning brown and waiting for the harvest. The land during that time, as the land is harvested, the crops are harvested, the land is quiet and still throughout the winter, waiting and waiting and waiting for the spring. But then one day the tractors arrive. One day the tractors arrive, pulling the plows behind them as the ground is once again prepared for another crop. I can just imagine a conversation like this one between the farmers. One might say, "You remember that piece of land over there on such and such road? Well, it's time. It is time for us to plow and plant that one today. It is time." To me, that's just an exciting time of the year when the farmers are plowing and tilling and disking the ground. The reason they do that is because they are preparing the ground for a crop. They have every reason to expect that their work will yield a harvest. I realize some years are better than others, but that's their expectation when they do it. But as we go through our days and we watch sometimes what the farmers are doing and we observe how that field is coming along, we can see all that farming activity and enjoy perhaps seeing it, and we rejoice with them that they're going to have a good crop, and some of you are farmers and you watch it a little more closely than the rest of us. But the time comes when it's time to harvest. I pray that from now on, whenever you see the farmers plowing, or if you are a farmer, when you start plowing, that you will remember a very important spiritual truth. It is time. Let us hear this word of God today as a word directly for us. Hosea 10, 12. Will you stand with me, please, as we read from God's word? Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. You may be seated. The prophet Hosea had a mandate from God to challenge the people about their hardened hearts and their stagnant spirits. The nation of Israel was a people who were very familiar with the ways of God, but they no longer lived according to the ways of God. The entire book of Hosea, and I realize it may not be your favorite, it may not be one that you just read all the time, but the entire book of Hosea is about God's pursuit of mankind when we seem all too intent on running away from Him. But notice how very patiently and persistently God comes after us. Now, in fact, the people of Israel were mainly farmers, so Hosea uses a lot of farming images in his little book to get their attention, to let them know that God really did love them and that He speaks to them so they can understand what He was saying. Now, I believe it is the same with us. Many of us are not farmers, and yet the language used here still speaks to us today. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He rain righteousness upon you. God definitely has something to say to us today, and it is time for us to listen to what He has to say. God sent you here today to hear this message from Him because He deeply cares about you and He wants you to have the very best that He can offer you. There was a lot at stake in Hosea's day. Should they choose to ignore what God was saying to them, a terrible judgment would fall on them. Now, we may not be facing the same judgment as they, but we have our own consequences to deal with. It is time that we come to grips with what God is saying to us. It is time to break up the unplowed ground in our hearts and in our lives. It is time. It is time for you to hear what God has to say about your walk with Him and your relationship to Him, your relationship to your church, your relationship to other people. It is time to uncover the truth about what our lives really look like to God. When it is time, the men plunge their plows into the earth. It is time for us to plow some ground today. It is time for us to plow some ground, specifically inside our hearts. It is time. Now, in this one verse, Hosea 10:12, there are several truths that deserve our undivided attention. The first thing is that this is a personal matter. When we talk about plowing the unplowed ground, plowing the fallow ground in our hearts, this is a personal matter. Notice the personal pronouns in this verse. Sow for yourselves. Sow to yourselves. And then it says, break up your fallow ground. Not your neighbor's. Your fallow ground. Some of us understand what fallow ground is, and some of us may not, but I don't want to assume that we all do. Fallow ground is land, farmland, that has been unplowed and unplanted for one or more seasons. Hosea now was not giving them advice about their plans for farming in the coming year. The words from God here had a spiritual application, as you can imagine. So this reference to fallow ground was a reference to the condition of their hearts. God said to them, the areas of your heart that have been unused and have grown hard need to be broken up and prepared for planting. This is personal. It is not something that I can do for you. You can't do it for me. You can't do it for anybody else. It is a deeply personal issue, one which deserves our utmost careful attention. It is something that each one of us must decide to do. A farmer cannot get his crops planted by sitting on the back porch in his rocking chair and wishing that it might happen. And so, by the same token, neither can we sow righteousness or break up our fallow ground by sitting back and wishing that it were so. It must begin by our asking ourselves this question: what am I sowing today? What seeds am I planting through the choices that I'm making in my life today? What crop will spring up from the seeds that I plant that I'm planting today or next week or next month? What crop will come from this? If we cannot say that we are sowing righteousness, then we need to back up and take a long look down the road. If we sow righteousness, then the Scripture says that we will reap in mercy, as we read in verse 12. But when you continue down into verse 13, you see that plowing wickedness results in evil. This is something that each one of us has to devote ourselves to do. And the Scripture says, and our own experience tells us, that it is time. It is time that we each do so. It is time that we stop wishing we had a stronger, more vibrant prayer life and break up the fallow ground. It is time that we stop longing for the day when we fellowship with God a little more closer on a deeper level and break up the fallow ground. It is time that we stop wishing so-and-so would come to church and break up the fallow ground. It is time that we stop wishing we had a stronger relationship with our families and break up the fallow ground. It is something each one of us must do. It is time. Now you can sit back and criticize other people because you don't think they're doing what you think they ought to be doing. But that's not going to plow any ground. That won't plant any seeds of righteousness. You can rest and say that you wish someone would do such and such, but the sowing that the Bible talks about is sowing that should take place in our own hearts. You can fold your arms and long for the good old days, but the only harvest you're going to get from that is a bunch of memories. It is time. It's a deeply personal matter. The second truth from this verse is that neglect has its own consequences. Neglect has its own consequences. Now, in our day, there may be a lot of reasons why ground is allowed to go fallow. I understand that. But in Hosea's day, the main reason would have been neglect. And that is the spiritual application that Hosea used with his hearers. And it is the reason that mainly applies to us. And the truth that should shock us into finally doing something about the condition of our hearts and the condition perhaps of our church is that neglect has its own consequences. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, you have only to look at a field that has been allowed to go fallow, and you will observe one very important thing. One year, corn or soybeans or some other crop is planted there, and the next, nothing is planted there at all. And yet, a fallow field will still produce something. It will still produce something, even if it's not corn or cotton or soybeans. If you fail to break the ground and plant, something else will grow there. And it most likely will not be something you wanted. I say to you with a heart full of love that while we are sitting back and waiting for whatever it is we're waiting for, that the weeds are growing. Is growing there whether you like it or not. Haven't spent much time with God lately? Well, just because you haven't grown very much spiritually doesn't mean the weeds of sin haven't found a home in your spirit. They've been growing there. Have you been neglecting a personal time in God's Word? While you have not been building into your heart and life the very words of life, you have been piling into your heart and life all kinds of thistles and weeds, and the thorns have been taking over. Lack of love for God and other people, neglect of prayer, ingratitude, pride, envy, bitterness, slander. Refusing to give God a portion of what He has so graciously given to you. Rotten attitudes, lust, lying, cheating. Those are just a few of the massive catalog of human sins that spring up in a heart that has grown fallow through neglect. Neglect has its own consequences, and it is time for us to do something about it. The third truth from this verse. It is time to break up the fallow ground. It's exactly what it says. It is time to break up the fallow ground. Now, before it can be used, fallow ground must be broken up. You can scatter the seeds across the top of the soil, but you're going to be wasting much more than you harvest. The ground must be plowed, sometimes deeply, to help it prepare to receive the seed. One thing I learned, I don't have this in my notes for today, but I felt like I need to share this with you, but one thing I learned through those years that I lived in the Delta or close to the Delta and watching the farmers and being their pastor and talking to them is that every few years they might plow deeper than they normally would. And the reason they would do that, they say, is as they plow the first few feet over and over, year after year after year, just underneath where they plowed gets harder and harder and harder. And so basically, when it rains and some of that sandy soil up there in the Delta, when it rains and that, and sometimes it's gumbo, what they call gumbo, that water can't drain on through to the water table. It just sits there. And so they watch the land, and if there's a spot of territory where the water just sits instead of draining off, they realize they have a problem. And so they call that hard surface underneath the several feet, they call it hard pan. And so they have to plow deeper to break up that hard pan. Now sometimes that happens in our own lives. We come to church, we pray a little bit, we read a little bit of scripture, we sing the songs, we do the religious stuff. And all we're doing is just plowing the top of it. Every once in a while, God says, I want you to dig down a little bit deeper. I got something else I want to show you. And you can't get it because you've got a hard pan that's built up in your heart. You've got to go deeper with me. Don't just be superficial. Don't just be shallow with me anymore. Plow a little bit deeper. Plow a little bit deeper. I don't think it's stretching the point too much to say that when I stand before you to open the Word of God, to share that with you, that I am attempting to plant the seed of God's Word in your hearts. But if there has been no preparation, no tilling, no plowing of your soul and your heart, then the seeds fall on stony and unrepentant hearts. If there is resistance to the eternal truth of God's Word, there will be no crop. Now pay attention to these things about fallow ground and see if they don't apply also to us spiritually. First, fallow ground is idle. It produces nothing of any value or any worth. The weeds or thorns take over, and hearts that have been allowed to go fallow are of no use to the kingdom of God. They produce nothing of any value. Would you agree with me that there is at least some problem in our hearts that way? The second thing about fallow ground is that it is hard. Is compact. And the longer it has been that way, the deeper the plowing must be in order to prepare it for planting. The longer you stay away from God, the deeper the pile of sins, and the deeper must be the repentance. The longer you resist the work and power of the Holy Spirit in your life, the harder your heart will become. God Himself, through His Holy Spirit, wants to come into your life and do some deep plowing today. He wants to do some deep plowing. He wants to go not just up and down the aisles. He wants to come inside your heart and plow. Now, it may not be very comfortable. God wants to turn over the hard surface of your heart and expose what's underneath. He wants to remove the stumps and the boulders and the weeds and the thorns from your life so you can receive the life and the rain that He wants to shower upon you. How do we get started? Well, it first requires a long and sometimes painful look at ourselves and our relationships with God and His church. So how are things between you and the Lord? Is your walk with Christ where it should be? Is the ground of your heart and soul hardened and unfruitful? Then it is time, folks, it is time for us to have some deep plowing to take place. It is time to sharpen the plow and plunge it deeply into those plots of ground in your heart that have grown matted over with years and years of neglect and sin. Some of us have first-hand knowledge of plowing, but most of us don't. I've watched the tractor pulling those big plows through the dirt, digging it up and turning it over. And if you get close enough and watch, pay attention, you will see that plowing is violent. It's violent. Should the earth be able to talk, we might even hear it complaining because of the pain. It is no less true when we are exposing areas of our heart and life that need the touch of God. It may be painful, folks. It may be violent. But it has to be done. And it is time. Those good intentions and all those promises that you made before God, they are fallow ground. And they must be broken up. That empty, pointless prayer life is fallow ground. And it must be broken up. Your lack of faithfulness to God's church is fallow ground, and it must be broken up. That place in your spirit where God cultivates the fruit of the Spirit has been allowed to go fallow. It is time to break it up. There's a fourth point from this one verse. It is time. It is time, the Scripture says, to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord. Okay, we've been saying it is time. You will not be able to walk out of here today unless you were sound asleep through the whole thing. And I'm watching. There's not anybody asleep. Even those of you that have said, now look, don't think anything of it if I go to sleep. I say, look, I don't think anything of it. Sometimes I'd go to sleep if I wasn't standing up preaching. Several years ago, somebody gave me a framed, they cut it out of the funny papers, the Sunday funnies. And it was the comic strip, Kudzu. Y'all remember that one? And the preacher, his name was Reverend Will B. Dunn. You remember that? And this was the comic strip was Reverend Will B. Dunn standing at the pulpit. And he says, and furthermore, brothers and... And he dozes off to sleep. And he sleeps through every frame, every single frame. Until he comes to the very end, and he wakes up, and he's thinking, oh, how embarrassing. It's bad enough when you fall asleep during your own sermon. But it's even worse when nobody notices. So if you doze off, we're not going to part company over it. You know, there's just some days I might fall asleep too if I wasn't standing up talking. So don't worry about that. But let me tell you something. Unless you have been asleep through the whole sermon, you have heard me say, it is time, over and over and over. Now, I'm not doing that because I don't have any other words to say. I'm a preacher after all. I got plenty of things to say. I'm saying that over and over because it's important. It is time. Now, the Scripture says very plainly, it is time to seek the Lord. Now, we wouldn't be doing a good job if we left this out. What does that mean? Seek. It is time to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, what does that mean? Is He lost? He's not lost, but when we look at this carefully, we'll discover something very important about how to live for the Lord. The word that's translated seek has a variety of meanings, but it never means just to glance at something. Like there's a stained glass window there with a beautiful cross. If I just glance over at it, I'm not seeking it. I'm just glancing at it. That's not what this word means. It means that our seeking after God is at such a deeply intense level that it could literally be said to be an investigation. An investigation. During an investigation, a police detective goes over all the evidence over and over and over, thinking he might have missed something the first time. Spreads it all out, looks at it, thinks about it. If he's a Christian, he might even pray about it. But he goes over that evidence over and over again to try to uncover a truth. That's what this word means. So it doesn't surprise us then that another use of this word means to tread a place. Literally, that's what it means. To tread a place over and over and over. In other words, to walk the same path over and over and over. So much so that you wear a path in the ground. You wear a path. Growing up in Mobile, Alabama, the kids right behind us, and us, and my brothers and I were friends with them, and there was a path from the front door right around the edge of the corner of the house to their back door.
It was a path that was worn because we boys traveled it. Either we were going there or they were coming here. Now, what path have you worn in your quest to know God better? Is there a path at all? And that's what this word is meaning. It is as if a person has been so diligent and so persistent in seeking after God that he has literally beat down the grass and made a path with his feet in his efforts to find the heart and the presence of God. Now, seeking the Lord with this kind of diligence and persistence is the best way to break up that fallow ground. It's the best way to make sure that the ground of our hearts never goes fallow again, that our hearts never harden or turn callous, that our spirits always stay soft and pliable before the teachings of God. I've known the Scripture a long time, you say. I've studied it and even taught it, and I know most of what it says. But when God speaks to you and gives you a truth that you might have overlooked or neglected for years, your heart stays so soft and pliable because you seek His face that you're immediately able to correct your path and do what God says instead. Charles Finney was an evangelist of another generation. And in a sermon that he preached on this passage that he called Breaking Up the Fallow Ground, this is what he had to say. Now these are hard words, but listen to them. It will do no good to preach to you while your hearts are in this hardened and waste and fallow state. The farmer might just as well sow his grain on the rock. It will bring forth no fruit. This is the reason why there are so many fruitless ministries in the church and why there is so much organization and so little deep-toned feeling. See why so much preaching is wasted and worse than wasted. It is because the church will not break up their fallow ground. A preacher may wear out his life and do very little good while there are so many stony ground hearers who have never had their fallow ground broken up. They are only half converted, and their religion is rather a change of opinion rather than a change of the feeling of their hearts. He continued, "You may get into an excitement without this breaking up. You may show a kind of zeal, but it will not last long, and it will not take hold of sinners unless your hearts are broken up." I'm not sure I could have said it any better myself. Except to add this, it is time.